Let's pray. Father, we just thank you. It is the entrance of your word that gives light and understanding to us. Lord, our hearts are open and naked unto you. My heart, Lord, I yield to you also. There's nothing I know. I just ask you to reveal your heart to me so that as I hear you speak, I will speak your word. Lord, to that individual in their individual circumstance, your word that will heal, your word that will liberate, your word that will set free, your word that will prosper, Lord, every one of us, I pray in the simplicity of your word and with the power of the Holy Spirit, let your word gain entrance into every heart. By your spirit, you have turned into a good ground, ready to receive. And let this word be planted, rooted. Let the word bear fruit. Let us hear. Let us not forget. Let us do exactly what you're saying. And confirm your word with signs following. And I want to thank you again for those who are already getting healed right now. Those who will be healed even as this service goes on, to the glory of your name, in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to thank the Aras again, because there's something they brought out in that clip we just watched about Daniel. Daniel is a man in the Bible, an ordinary man, but a man who was determined that he would do what God says, irrespective of the opposition, the threat over his life, and the danger he was going to face. You know, you can read that story in the book of Daniel in the Bible. A whole book captures the story of Daniel and also his three companions called Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, Daniel is a very clear example of what we're about to talk about today that is laid on my heart. We've been looking at the theme, be strong. Be strong, not just in yourself, but in the Lord. Be strong, the Bible says, in the Lord and also in the power of his might. We see that in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. But there are three things, three areas, three parameters which we can actually measure our strength in to see if we are really strong. Because, let me tell us something, we can hear be strong, be strong, be strong. And on last Thursday, we looked at how strong are you, if you join us in the Bible study. Because the Bible tells me that adversity, trials, tribulations, testings is actually a test of how strong we are. The scripture tells us that if we fail in the day of adversity, it means that our strength is little. It means our strength is little. We see that in Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 10. Now, let me read from this interesting translation. It says, if you give up, you show yourself weak when trouble comes. On the day of distress or trouble, it shows that you are weak. Another translation puts it this way. You are a poor specimen if you can't stand the pressure of adversity. So some of us might be going through some form of adversity, trial, trouble. It could even be a form of a bereavement. It could be anything. You see, the way we respond, the way we react, is a sign of how strong we are. And it's important for us to know actually how strong we are. Because you're hearing, be strong, be strong, be strong. But please, let's measure first. Where am I on that scale of strength? On that spectrum? Am I very strong? Am I just there in the middle? Oh, I don't have strength at all. Now, this word is not to condemn us. This word is not to make us feel, okay, I realize I'm not very strong, so that's it, that's me. No, this word is to make you arise from that place, whatever level you are, and arise in the strength of the Lord. So today, to help us to measure and to see the things we should be strong in, I bring us the word, and if you want to give it a title, I struggle with two titles, but I'll just call it Be Strong, Be Committed, Be Consistent, and Be Considerate. To be strong, I need, number one, to be committed, number two, to be consistent, and number three, to be considerate. Now, there is something that I'm telling you, and I'm talking to some of us who have been believers, Christians, maybe for years, or you don't even know what it means to be a Christian. But let me really address those of us who are in the Lord already. And I'm praying for someone today, if you don't know the Lord, if you're not in Christ, if you are just tuning in and just you saw this on YouTube or you saw this on Facebook or somebody sent it to you, and you just want to, what's this all about? What's this God business thing all about? What's this God thing? I am praying for you by the Spirit of God that you will have a full understanding and you will be in the Lord today. You will receive what God has already paid, the price Jesus has already paid for you. And you become a stronger person in the Lord, in your life, in your commitments, in your consistency, and in all your considerations. And I pray this in the name of Jesus. Listen, there's something in Matthew chapter 5. Jesus said something that I'm telling you as a Christian personally, and by a Christian, I mean I'm not talking about a title. Being a Christian is not a title. It's even beyond a lifestyle. It's a character. What you are, what you are becoming. Are you becoming Christ-like? Like Christ? Because you can carry the title on your head and not really be the character. You can even have the charisma. You can know all the dance moves. You can speak all the Christian, you know, vocabulary and have absolutely no character. For example, I'll give an example. You know, being a husband is not a title. It is a responsibility. Being a father is not a title. It's a responsibility. Being a mother is not a title. It's a responsibility. I love the way, you know, a mentor of mine puts it, your ability to respond. Your responding ability is what is known as responsibility. So what is your ability to respond in the time of crisis, in the time of trouble? What is your character? When you say someone has character, that means they are strong. But you see, they are also strong characters in the negative. They are very strong. And another name for that in the negative is another S word. They are stubborn. Being stubborn is not the same thing as being strong. So, Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said something from verse 33. He says, and I read from the New King James Version. Again, you heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but you shall perform your oaths to the Lord. Verse 34, but I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Verse 38, nor shall you swear by your head. Oh, let me pause there. I've heard people say things. I swear by the head of my mother. I swear by the grave of my dead mother. I am trying to tell you the truth. And I'm telling you, what I'm telling you is the truth. They have to make a, you know, they have to swear. They have to add something to it. Or you've had this, and this is very common. And I'm telling you, very, very common. I'm a Christian, so I don't tell lies. How many of us have seen Christians who lie? No, we're not voting. Maybe you're sitting next to one. Or maybe you're actually one. Everybody's quiet now. Okay, if you've never told a lie in your life, raise up your hand. Are you raising up your hand, Joshua? No, you're not. Okay, anybody who raises their hands, we will have to lay hands on you today and cast out the spirit of lies. You know, but listen to this. Now shall you swear, verse 13, by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black, but let your yes be yes and your no, no. I wish that what Jesus was saying will end there. Look at the next thing. This is scary. For whatever is more than this is from the evil one. Let your yes be yes and your no, no. Whatever is more than this is of the evil one. Let me read to us a simpler version. This one says, say only yes if you mean yes, and no if you mean no. If you say more than yes or no, it is anything more than this is from the evil one. So if you are saying yes, say yes. Don't add anything to it. Don't say yes, I swear. By this, I'm a Christian. My yes is yes. Just simply say yes. Just simply say no. Now, what does that mean? Do you know what? This is actually what commitment, simply put, means. Commitment. Three areas you can test if you are strong. Three areas you need to be strong in. Number one, be strong in your commitments. I am telling you, and I'm not preaching at anybody. I'm not preaching down at you. I'm preaching at me. And I'm going to focus on God, what I've learned from God. And I'm going to focus on me. So I'm going to talk a little bit about what I've learned and what I've experienced. Maybe by virtue of the fact that God has put me in a place where I can see other people's lives and see other people and have some form of spiritual oversight and see what people are not really seeing and know what people don't really know. Listen, one of the areas that we Christians really struggle, I mean, we are nice, we lift up our hands, we worship, we praise, we thank God, we know all the things to say, but we struggle with commitments. Oh, have I seen people? Oh, Pastor, I'm going to do this. Okay, no, they don't do that. Okay, I just exaggerated there. Holy Spirit, forgive me. Let me be committed not to exaggerate. But it's like, I'm going to do this, and the next thing, they don't do it. They don't. Oh, I will do this, I will do this. You sit down, you plan, you do all the planning, everything, the next thing, boom. Don't do it. If you are not strong in making commitments and being committed to something, you are a weak person. You are. Because you said yes, but you actually meant no. Or maybe you don't know the meaning of yes. Oh, God bless. What's her name now? I've forgotten her name. What's her name? She's late now. Allison will know her. Jill. Jean. Yeah. God bless her lovely, wonderful soul. And, you know, if the family of Jean are watching, God bless you. I just remember Jean. Jean was telling me one day, because at times, she's one of my moral compasses. She corrected me one day. She said she noticed that anytime I'm always talking and all that, and I see anything, and it's always like gender specific. I seem to always talk about the opposite sex and the weakness of the opposite sex. She will balance me. Men too are like that. And Jean said, one of the things she teaches young women is to say no. She stand in front of mirror and practice no. 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 Stop saying yes to everything. And then she said something I'll never forget. She tells them that when you say no to a man, and the man is still troubling you, she said the next thing you should do, and there's a way Jean will just pose and talk. Just ask them, what part of no don't you understand? Is it the spelling? N-O? I mean, no. No is no. Everybody say no. Some people, I don't even want to say it. Some people are saying they are, no, I won't say it. No, no, no. Oh, I love children. I just love the innocency of these children before we start corrupting them with our own insecurities and we project that into our own children. They are so innocent. Anyway, let me focus. What part of no don't you understand? Let your yes be yes. That is what commitment means. When you say, yes, I will do this, please do it. End of story. The Bible says, if you say, yes, I will do it, and you don't do it, you say, it's evil. It is evil. E-V-I-L. We just joke with these things, and we think, yeah, it's okay. What it simply means is that you cannot be trusted. And if you cannot be trusted in little yeses, I will do this. Yes, I will handle this. You cannot be trusted with anything big. You can't be. That is commitment. And let me tell you something. Commitment is never known. That is, you are true to your commitment until it is tested. What does it mean to test? Yeah, you said, yes, I will do this. Some things will happen to make you not want to do it. But yes, because you said yes, you will do it. Now, listen, I'm not saying be a yes man or a yes person, because some people just say yes to everything. And one of the things I want to highlight, because I said I'm going to talk about myself. You know, some people think that because I'm talking about myself now, I'm a pastor, maybe a man of God, that you don't say, you can't say, out of respect, you don't say no to a pastor. So when the pastor tells you to do something, yes, I will do it. Excuse me. Excuse me. Even God will say no to him. Talk less of a man of God. Why do we lie? Because that's what it is. You've become a liar. You cannot be trusted. I hope we see the gravity of these things. This is to help us to become strong. Yes, there can be circumstances beyond our control at times. We can't rule that out. But you see, let your yes be yes. And let the yes come from your heart. Because that's where God looks at. But you are saying yes out of respect, then you are a liar. That's what it means. That is just what it means. Out of respect, please say no to me. You know, I tell people, apart from pastoring, I do that in the church. Outside, professionally, I am a teacher. Come on. I teach young people. I teach adults. I've taught in the secondary school. I've had the privilege of even working with primary school students. And then I've worked with college students and, you know, university. Little children, oh, Ethan, go and sit down there. No. They tell me no. And guess what? There's nothing I can do. There's nothing I can do. The other day I was in your school. Do you remember? I went to cover in, don't worry, we won't expose your school. And boy, I was in the class. And immediately this young girl walked in. Ah, I knew I'm in trouble. She walked in. Oh, I said, welcome. I put on my charm. My charm didn't work. All right, please, can you settle down there? She said, excuse me? You're talking to me? I said, no, just sit down. No! You know, I stepped backwards a bit. I knew I was in trouble. If you're a professional teacher, you know trouble when it walks into the classroom. You know that this is going to scatter your lesson. So I began to wonder. I switched on the charm again. It didn't work somewhere. Just opened her book, brought out her bag, brought out her makeup kit. I thought she was going to pluck out her eyeballs at a point. Said, all right. So I started doing the register. I called her name. She didn't answer. Called her name again. What? So just say present. What? Can't you see me? This was a girl. I'm old enough to be her grandfather. She said no to me. Who am I? Who am I that you are not fearful of me? How you treat me is not fair. She said no, and she meant no. I began to, under my breath, bind the devil. That's what I do. That's one of my trade secrets. Take authority over any demon in this class manifesting to anybody. I don't say it out. I take authority where I am. She calmed down, all that. The more I bound the devil, the more. So I had to use my common sense. When you cast the devil out, it goes. But when somebody embraces the same devil, it comes back. You cast the devil will obey you. It will come back. Because the person is inviting the devil back. So I just remember the scripture. Cast out the scorner and strife, and contention will cease, which means both the person and the demon cast them out. It's in the policies. So when a student is disruptive, you send for backup. So I sent for backup, and they cast the demon carrier out of the lesson, and the place was calm. Silent night. What am I saying? Please, don't be afraid to say no. If you say yes, because you're doing it out of respect, and you mean no, you are evil. That's what the Bible says. I didn't say so. All right, let's run with commitments. What are the things that we should be committed to? I just wanted to help us with that. Because I'm telling you this, I am committed to you as the pastor of this church, and anybody who walks in, even if you're a visitor or if you are just stumbling and you're walking online and you're watching online, I am committed, and I don't joke with my commitments to you. And what's my commitment to you? To tell you what the Bible says, irrespective of how I feel or how you feel. Speak the truth to you in love. You know, I tell people prior to the year of the lockdown, the year of the virus, that's what I refer to as 2020. That was a crazy year. Prior to that year, I used to be a little bit diplomatic. And I realized that being diplomatic, I'm violating the scripture. We must set boundaries. We must say no, we must say yes. We must let people know how to behave. We must correct people. We don't do that here. This is the church of the living God. This is the house of God. This is the ground and the pillar of truth. This should be the example to the world. This is the place where light shines into a dark world. So if we come here and we misbehave, we say yes when we mean no, we say no when we mean yes, we don't even know what we mean at times. We just say anything. We cannot be practicing evil here. So I started learning to say it as it is. We're taking some serious, drastic, what's the word now? Review of ourselves. Last week we looked at, do a radical review of your relationships. It's people speaking to your life, the people you're speaking to, and the people who are influencing you. Take a radical review. Listen, some things must end. Not stop. Samuel, there's a difference in stopping something and ending something. There are things God is telling us to end, but we are stopping them. Let me give you an analogy I give somebody. When you watch a movie has the beginning and has the ending. Do you know halfway you can stop the movie and decide you're not watching again? But do you know what that means? You can go back and watch it because you've not watched it till the end. When it ends, there's nothing to watch again. There are relationships God is telling you to stop, to end, but you are stopping them. God is saying, end, not stop. It must cease. End, end, E-N-D. Where no is not no. We're going to do a radical. We started with me last week. We're going to do a radical review of ourselves as a church, as Love Assembly. By the grace of God, next Sunday, it's going to be exactly 17 years we held the first public service of Love Assembly in the city of Liverpool. And I can tell you, no, you don't need to clap. Because in all sincerity, at times I feel like running away and resigning. Why? Because the stress. I say I'm going to talk about myself, the stress people give me. People who will say yes and it's no they mean. People who say no and it's yes they mean. I am tired, and God has told me some things must end. This 17th year, we are not stopping, we are ending. I told someone before this service, I said some people, after hearing today's message, may not come to this church again. And I said, glory be to God, it means it has ended. We're not stopping. Ending. Radical review, because we can't come together and be practicing evil, and we want to go out there and win a dying world. When we're a bunch of people who cannot say yes, I mean yes, say no, I mean no. And listen, please, I'm begging you in the name of the Lord. Commitments, one of the things you have to learn about commitment is not by force, it's by choice. You will always have a choice. Listen, you will always. Don't say, I was forced to do this. No. By the grace of God, and I'm saying this, please, I'm saying this again, you can say no to me. Feel free. And I've tried, God knows I've tried, to let people know you don't have to do anything. Listen, we only need a few people who will say yes, and they will mean yes. And things will get going. Do you know when we were under lockdown for a whole year? By the grace of God, the church kept on. We were online. How many of us were in the background who kept the church going? Very, 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 very few, to the glory of God. Very few. When we started services physically again last week, last year. Very, 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 very few. There are people online there for the past over a year, 2 years. They've not stepped into a physical gathering. They're enjoying themselves. Fine. There's no problem with that. I'm telling you the truth. Absolutely no problem. But those who say yes, those who want to make things work, please, let's be committed to what we're saying. Right. Commitment. Number one, we must be committed to our source. And who's that? God. He's our owner, he's our master, he's our maker. We must be committed to God. Okay? That's number one, commitment. So before you make any commitment, the Bible teaches us that we do everything as unto the Lord. So when I say yes to you, I am saying yes to the Lord. Saying yes to the Lord. So it's beyond you. When I have that kind of mindset, I will always check my commitments, what I'm committing myself onto. So Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Abide in me, John chapter 15. So our commitments, we must take it as unto the Lord. If I tell you I'm going to do this for you, I'm not saying it just to you, Samuel. I'm saying it to the Lord. Yes, I will do this. And if I can't do this, if I'm struggling to, please, the decency, out of respect, this is what true respect is, that I say I will do something for you and I have the decency to let you know, please, I'm struggling. I said I will give you £20 and you know, they've not paid me this week. I've made the promise. I have not forgotten. And I will get the money across. But a situation. And you see, we see all this nonsense. Nonsense in the body of Christ. Where you Christians will loan money from another Christian and they don't pay back. Do you know, those are just extreme cases because it starts with the little yes you say you never committed to. It only graduated to you loaning money and not returning. Everywhere is quiet. As unto the Lord. Number two that we must be committed to. My purpose in life. You must be committed to me and my purpose in life. You are committed to the Lord and committed to me and my purpose. So we are committed to our source, our maker, and then committed to ourselves. Listen, when Jesus was teaching, he was asked in Matthew chapter, I think 22, from verse 36 to 40, a man asked him, what is the greatest commandment? Do you know what he said? You should love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your soul, with all your mind, with, you know, go and read it. In fact, I love the progression. Can we bring that up? Let me just show us that progression. It's very interesting because commitment begins from the heart. Okay? Before I commit myself, I must check my heart. That's just what we're saying. Do I really mean this? Check yourself. Nobody's forcing you. The first judgment that came in the Bible, very harsh judgment. Anytime I read it, I shudder. The story of Ananias and Sapphira. Do you know that's what killed them? They sold their property, they brought the land, the proceeds, and they were simply asked, is this how much you sold it? Yes. And we've come to give everything to the church. Are you sure this is how much you sold it? Yes. They held part of it back. So sad. Do you know what the apostles said? Do you know, it's not us you've lied to. You've lied to the Holy Spirit. So when I say yes, and I mean no, you think it's the pastor you're lying to? You think it's your boss you're lying to? You think it's your brother you're lying to? You're lying to the Lord. Maybe the judgment is not as harsh as then. The man fell down dead. His wife came back later. And they asked her, you sold the land, yeah? You want to give the proceeds to the church, yeah? Is this how much you sold it? Yeah. Everything? Yeah. Say, okay, no problem. Those who carried your dead husband, they are waiting outside to carry you to bang. She falls down dead. Listen, I thought the church was going to scatter after then. I thought that was it. You know, imagine it happens in our time. Ah! Apostles kill people in the church. That church, don't go there. They are killing people there. Everybody's always dying. We don't know even why he's dying. Something must be wrong with that pastor. He doesn't have enough anointing. People are always dying. People are this, that. People are that, 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 that. We're always blaming the pastor, you know. Okay. They held back. They held back. Will you do it? Yes. But you're holding back. You meant no. Please just say no. Okay. Thou shalt love the Lord your God. Let's look at the progression. What verse is it? From verse what? Matthew 22. From verse... Are you committed to verse 30? 37. Okay. The question was in 36. Which is the great commandment? Jesus said, you will love the Lord with all your... Please, show it on the screen if you can. With all your... It starts from the heart. It starts from the heart. Check your heart. This is also the root of why marriages fail. You can't keep a little yes and you want to go to on a big day and say, I do to somebody. And you do. You don't know you are done. We take little things like that so lightly. Because we've messed up with the little things, we mess up big time. I am committed. I've made up my mind. Listen, I have made up my mind. When Ananias and Sapphira died, boom, the Bible said fear gripped everybody. I thought the church was going to go down. And the Bible said people now started getting scared to join the church. Go and read it. I think in Acts chapter 5, is it? They were scared. But then the next thing, the church started growing. Because righteousness exalts. It's unrighteousness that will destroy. Let's do things right. Radical review of our lives. Do we want to be strong? Be strong in your commitment. Say no. If you're not sure, say no. Who's going to kill you? No. Love the Lord with all your heart. It starts with that. Just check yourself before you make any commitment. So you must be committed. He said, then you will love the Lord your God. Vertical. We are very good with that. But it's the horizontal one we fail. Our commitments to ourselves and to other people. What does it mean to commit to yourself? Please look after yourself. I'm committed to me. The pandemic reset my brain. God bless Nkem Amaka there. So if I'm lying, she knows. By the grace of God, I have, I don't want to call it side, I hate that word. Say I have a side hustle. No. Paul calls it tent making. So that I don't rely on the church. So I work. Went to school, trained, became a teacher. I'm teaching. I earn money. I pay tithe. I do everything. Because let me tell you, I said I'll talk about myself. One of the problems, Samuel, is you I'm talking to, okay? Not you. One of the problems pastors have is people leaving the church. So because of that, they don't tell, if I say this, they will leave. If I correct them, ah! Please, I'm not asking you to leave. I'm asking you to end that nonsense. End the nonsense of you saying yes when you mean no. Let's do things right. Let's be strong in our commitments. It's always a problem with pastors. But the pandemic taught me something somewhere. We're under lockdown, wasn't it? I was in my house, you were in your houses. Couldn't go out, couldn't see anybody. They told us, don't go out. Sit down in your house. Sat down in the house. What do we do, Lord? Okay, go online. We kept preaching. To the glory of God. I'm saying this to the glory of God. Since I have, my wife and I, and my lovely two sons, who are men now, I've been in this church. We're the longest people in this church, this local assembly. I have not seen Love Assembly prosper like it did over the pandemic, when we are not even holding physical meetings. In fact, somebody rang me recently and said, but Pastor, I've been seeing you and all that. Is it true that the church has shut down? Because that's the rumor out there that Love Assembly doesn't exist again. I just laughed. I said, go and tell the person, if that's the prayer they are praying, they should keep praying. People are just so evil-minded. Is it my church? I understood. He said I will build my church. Who says he will build? Is it me? It's got nothing to do with me. I was free. Free from men. Free from people. And honestly, I'm telling you, I could not care less if we started physical meetings and it was just 1, 2, 3, where 2 or 3 are gathered. Because what God reminded me was the foundation, when I say foundation, of how Love Assembly itself started. It was just myself, my wife. Noah, Joshua was just a few days old. And Noah, who's behind the camera there, was just 4 years old. And we were in my house 1 year, 9 months. 1 year, 9 months. There was nobody. We were having church service. And the Lord started adding to the church daily. So we went back to ground zero. And God was reminding me, see, you are with your family again. Your family first. He came, he's there. I do my daily job. Work from, only God knows, 9 to 5, 6, 7 at times. I drive straight to the church. God bless him, came my executive administrator. She's there, faithfully, morning till night. She will wait there, and now I start another job. I'm there till 11, at times 12 midnight, at times past midnight, attending to people. At the expense of me and my family, and then I drive home. Do you know it was a blessing that we got kicked out of Crossfield? Because for the first time, my family and I remembered and realized we had a home. Because we were never at home. Noah is nodding his head. Never. Never. I leave the college. I go straight to the church. I'm there. Attending to this. Facing disappointments from people, dealing with it, trying to be normal. Pandemic hit. I realize I have a house. I have a bed. I tell people, Pastor, I want to come and visit you. You won't meet me at home pre-pandemic. I'm never at home. We are never at home. These poor guys, no, not poor, these rich boys, sorry, you can't correct me, these rich men, we carry them everywhere. They don't know anything. They are there in the church. They stay with us because we don't want to overburden anybody. We don't give them to childminder. We are the minder. Everywhere I go, I go. We die together. We live together. We cry together. We perish together. It's my responsibility. But I was failing. And God showed me. Commitment to God, commitment to me, my family. Oh, come on. 17 years, if I should take the tally, I'm not joking, we've seen over 1,000 people come and go. But we still stay committed to what God has called us onto. Because I said yes to the Lord. That's why we're still here. So it just reset. So I'm just telling you, commitment to God first, commitment to me, you, your family. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, might, strength, and love your neighbor. But you know what? First. Listen, there was a time my children were not doing well in school. And I went to school, they invited me, I went to find out. I said, yeah, because your son says when you pick him from school, you're going straight to church. And then when you leave church, you are going from one family, visiting people. I don't do my homework, I'm asleep. When I get home, I don't do homework. First thing in the morning, I'm back in school. Same circle. They were not doing well. And people in church, their own children were doing well. And then one day they will have a brainwave. Pastor, the Spirit is leading us. God is saying we should leave, we should go to another church. I like when the Spirit leads people like that. At least they are being sincere. What about the people the Spirit has led since, but they are still sitting? It's not funny. Still pretending. That's evil. That's even more evil. All right, my time is up. We stop with commitment today. Next week, if the Lord tarries, we look at the next one. What's the next one? Oh, please, are you angry at me now? Please, if you're angry, say yes. Don't say no. If you say no, you're not angry. You see. Maybe somebody who doesn't even think he is. Does he think he is? Does he think he is? I'm a child of God and I am committed to telling people the truth. Okay. All right. Let me just throw this 3 and 4. I'm committed to God, committed to me and my purpose in life. Number 3, I'm committed to the people that God brings to my life. Listen, you will always need people in your life. You cannot do without people. In fact, your test of love of God, Emmanuela, is your love for people. Your love for people. Irrespective of all these things I'm saying, I realize I have no choice. I must keep loving people who say yes when they mean no, who say no when they mean yes. I must guard my heart that I don't get bitter. I must guard my heart. I must be very careful. So what? Boom. Puts me back in shape. Come on. You're committed to love. So you must love. But then love has boundaries. So we can redefine our relationship. Let's redefine it. No hassle. You don't want us to have the pastor, whatever, brothers, relationship anymore. Let's redefine it. If you want us to be friends, then we can be friends. But even friendship has boundaries. Because at times I just realize I can't trust you. So I can't even be friends with you. Can't be. So let's love one another from afar. You know the Bible says it. Yeah? I don't hate you. We are not friends. So our boundaries must be set. We are brethren in Christ. We love each other. We give fist bump. We do the elbow thing, but it doesn't cross that. So that you don't hurt me, I don't hurt you. Okay? The people God brings into my life, you must. And always find out the purpose. Why people are in your life. I've pastored people for a month. I've pastored people for a year. And I've pastored some people till I'm talking. I've been pastoring now for almost 3 decades. I still pastor them. We still have that relationship. It's a life thing. And I feel so honored that we still relate. They call me. We're not physically in the same location. So, and then finally, this will help us. Before you commit to anything, find out the purpose of that thing. What's the purpose of this thing I'm about to commit to? What's the purpose of this person I'm about to make a commitment to? What's the purpose of this project I'm about to sign up to? What's the purpose of this contract that I'm about to sign? What's the purpose of this work that I'm about to take on? What's the purpose? It will help you to now make up your mind. Is it worth it? Can I afford it? Jesus said, anybody who wants to build a tower, sit down. Count the cost. Count the cost. Can you pay the price? When I chose to answer the call to pastor people, I knew the price. I didn't fully understand it, but I think I've paid the price for almost 3 decades. And I'm telling you, I love people from the depth of my heart. God knows. God knows. When I'm battling and I'm almost tilting towards, I tell myself and I remind myself, purpose. Purpose. It's high time we redefine our commitments. Let us pray. Let's just pray. Yes. Yes. No. No. But help me. Please check yourself. It's not a, like I said, I'm going to talk about myself, I told you, and I'm going to talk about God and what I'm learning. But just check yourself. What are the commitments I've made? What are the yeses I've said that I actually meant no? Please, can you just be humble enough? Say, you know what? I didn't mean it. I'm sorry. Anybody who humbles themselves, God said he will exalt. Humility is part of you reviewing your commitments and making right your wrongs. A simple sorry goes a long way. And please don't be sorry if you have not repented, because you can be sorry because you were caught. That's what they told one prime minister recently. I didn't mention any name. I'll be sorry because you were caught. No, repent. Don't stop what God is asking you to end. Some of us must end some relationships now. That's what God is saying. Some of us must end some commitments that we never meant. End it. Don't stop it. Look at the ultimate end. Because at the end of the day, you are damaging yourself and damaging others. And that's what consideration means. We'll look at that too. Commitment, consistent, considerate.